John chapter 12, verse number 37. John chapter 12, verse number 37, the scripture says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, that is Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." That verse 41 is what we want to concentrate on this morning. "These things said Isaiah," that is who it's referring to, "when he saw his glory," that is the glory of the Lord, "and spake of him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your people. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you've given upon to us in meeting here together, Father, to worship you this day. Thank you for the first day of the week, and Father, that you've set it aside to be the day of rest, to be the day of worship, to be the day of the holy convocation of your people, that we would come together as your children in your church, Father, to worship you. Help that we would. We thank you for the way that you've blessed already, for your good word, the songs, the prayer that has been rendered up unto you, Father. We pray that it would be pleasing unto you, and Father, that you would help us in the balance of the day, that we would continue to worship you, and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us in the infirmity of our flesh and the weakness that we have, Father, help us that we might be strong in you and the power of your might. And Lord, that we might just render unto you worship that would be pleasing unto you, and that would be praise and honor and glory to your holy name. Father, for those that are here today and not saved, we pray for them. Lord, they're in your hand. And we pray, Father, that you would work and move upon them. Father, stir them. Lord, open their eyes that they might see. Open their ears that they might hear. Father, open their hearts that they might understand. Lord, that they might repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would save their souls. Help now, we pray, and bless with your word. Help us, Father, that we would see your glory. And we ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here Isaiah is being quoted by John, and John is referring to these passages, saying that at this time these things have been fulfilled. In this chapter 12 of the book of John, the Gospel of John, let's kind of review here just to gain some context of John speaking these verses. In verses 1 and 2, the Lord eats with Mary and Martha and Lazarus there in Bethany, and in Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. In verses 3 through 8, Mary anoints the Lord's feet. He says, against the day of his burying, she has anointed him, and proclaims that because Judas had quarreled about the waste of the ointment, he deals with all that and proclaims that because Judas had done so. He said, she should have done this, and it is right for us to do so. Remember, Judas wanted to take the ointment and sell it, that something might be given to the poor, so he said, but it's known that he was a thief and just wanted to dip into it. In verse number 9, many folks come to see the Lord and come to see Lazarus, whom the Lord had raised from the dead. And then verses number 10 through 11, we see how the Jews, they counsel together and consult on how not only to put the Lord to death, but also Lazarus. Because of him, because of Lazarus, many had believed and went away from Judaism and believed on Christ. In verses 12 through 18, we see the Lord as he nears Jerusalem and the triumphant entry of the Lord into Jerusalem. And we saw about some of those things last week. And they come to meet him, and they hear about Lazarus having been raised from the dead, and they want to see the Lord. The Pharisees, they're in distress because of this, because of his fame. And then certain Greeks in verses 20 through 22 come to inquire of the Lord and want to speak to the Lord. But in verses 23 and 26, we see that his mind seems to be only on that which he must accomplish. He is dedicated to it. The time is at hand. Our Lord is within days of his crucifixion. He tells them that the time has come that he must be glorified, and he tells them that he must die that we might live, and that we must die to self that we might live for him. And then in verses 27 through 30, even though his soul is troubled, he knows that the hour has come for which he has come into the world. His desire is that the Father be glorified, and the Father replies from heaven that he has been glorified and will be glorified as the Lord Jesus Christ continues and will be obedient to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verses 31 through 33, he tells how Satan is now judged and will be cast out. He tells that by his being crucified, we will be saved and drawn to him. And then in verses 34 and 36, as usual, the people are confused, and the Lord tells them to walk in the light, to believe in the light, that they might be the children of light. And then he hides himself. And then we come to these verses that we read, and John says he makes his commentary on those events that he's just recorded. There is a sense there that I believe that he marvels at the situation at hand. John being a man saved, John being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, John being called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been touched by the Lord, he's been saved, but he looks on at the multitudes and he looks on at the people, and it's seemingly there that he marvels at it, but then he's reminded about the scripture. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And then he's reminded that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And we're going to take a look a little bit about that passage here in a bit. But Isaiah said that. See, Isaiah marveled, Lord, who hath believed our report? I've been preaching, I've been teaching, I've been doing that you've called me to do. And Isaiah has a desire for the people. Isaiah is not just fulfilling the mission that the Lord has given him, but he has been touched. He has been so convicted by the Lord about his message, and Isaiah carrying his message. John looking on at the reaction of the people in that day that he writes about and that he lived. He says, why will they not believe? But we know it is of the work of the Lord. And Isaiah says as much, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These men, John, considering those passages that Isaiah wrote, and that Isaiah, in writing those passages, they come to that, not to the realization, but they know, and it's reaffirmed, that God's got to work. That God Almighty has got to work. He said, it's so evident. Look at all the miracles that he did. Look at the message at hand. Look at everything that the Lord has spoken, how wonderful that it is. Yet sinners don't believe. And there's a necessity indeed of God working. And John adds this in verse 41, which is what we want to concentrate on this morning. These things said Isaiah. What he refers to there, and what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah chapter 6, which we're going to look at. When he saw his glory, Isaiah spoke these things when he saw his glory and therefore spoke of him. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, those two things that John quoted, and spake of him. Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord, and then he speaks these things of him. We need to see the glory of the Lord. We need to see the glory of the Lord. And that's what we want to concentrate on here this morning. What happens when we see the glory of the Lord? Well, let's turn to one of these passages that John quotes here of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. What happens when one sees the glory of God? We need to see the glory of God. And we want to look at and consider this morning, what happens when one sees the glory of the Lord? In Isaiah chapter 6, we have an occasion here, we have an account here of when Isaiah did see the glory of the Lord. Isaiah called of the Lord to be a prophet to his nation and to a wayward people. A prophet that lived a long life in their midst and prophesied a long time in the midst of that rebellious people that the Lord claimed. And so in this account here, we see when Isaiah is taken by the Lord and is going to be used by the Lord, and how the Lord takes and works with him and uses him and touches him, how the Lord blesses him. And what we want to see is the things that happen here that the Lord does, and the result of those things. What happens when one to one that sees the glory of the Lord? In verse number 1 of chapter 6 of Isaiah, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Isaiah is allowed to embark and enter into. He's able to see into the throne room of God, and he sees this throne and one that's sitting on there that is high and lifted up. This throne is way above, seemingly, all else that is there in the throne room. The throne is high and lifted up. The Lord sitting upon that throne, and his train filled the temple. Everything about the Lord, every detail about his train. When we think of a train, we think about something that's worn. But I think that with the Lord, there's more than that. There are things at hand there that in the presence of the Lord, that are with the Lord there in his throne room, there are other things, other beings, other items, other things that the scripture tells us about. I'm thinking about the two witnesses there in the book of the Revelation. It says that they are the two, I think, palm trees, as they're referred to, that are there in the presence of the Lord. There's many things that are there in the presence of the Lord. And all that about the Lord, everything about his existence there, I don't know how else to describe it, but other than in his throne room, Isaiah says it was great. And it was like none other. He said his train filled the temple where the Lord sat on his throne. He saw the Lord. And he says in verse 2, above it, well, above what? Above the throne, above the temple, above it stood the seraphims. And these seraphims had each one six wings. With two wings he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Part of the train of the Lord, or part of that throne room of the Lord, part of the host, or the ones, or the things, the beasts that are there with the Lord. There's none other throne room so great as that of the Lord. Isaiah is seeing the glory of God. And there's these four beasts. Above it stood the seraphims. We have reference to them in other books, and we'll not look at that. But their mention does agree. These seraphims are there, and they have six wings each, and they cover their face, they cover their feet, and with two of those they do fly, and cried one to another, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so Isaiah sees this and sees these creatures that are there, these beasts that are there to proclaim the glory of the Lord. It's told us in the scriptures they do so perpetually. They've been doing so from eternity past, and they will do so to eternity future. And that is what they are created for, and that's what they do. And they cry one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Verse number 4, "And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That place where the throne room of God is. And as these beasts cry about the holiness of the Lord one to another, as they speak and as they utter those words of holiness, decrying the holiness of the Lord, the place shakes. The place shakes. What happens to one that sees the glory of God? There's understanding and knowledge of how things really are. Isaiah was blessed of the Lord to be able to see the greatness of God, the terribleness of the Lord, the power of the Lord, and how that even the Lord has creatures created by Him that their purpose eternally is to cry about the holiness of the Lord, the thrice holy God. And at their voice, the place shakes and the place is filled with smoke. What happens when one sees the glory of God? Well, there's understanding and knowledge. Isaiah had seen the Lord like he'd never seen him before, and he indeed knew that he is holy and great. What happens to when one sees the glory of God? Verse number 5. Then said I, at that which he had seen, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Listen, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. What happens when one sees the glory of God? There's self-examination and repentance. There's self-examination and repentance. When Isaiah was allowed to see God in His glory, to the extent that the Lord revealed Him there in His throne room, if you will, Isaiah says, woe is me. There's self-examination and there's repentance. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I am of a people of unclean lips. Woe, woe, woe is me. How do I compare to the Lord? I don't even compare. And he bows in the heart. He bows, no doubt, physically before the Lord. Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, the scripture says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We need to repent of our sins. We need to see the glory of the Lord. And we need to self-examine ourselves and repent before our great God and King. What happens when one sees the glory of God? There's understanding and knowledge. There's self-examination and repentance. And then after that, in verse number 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, one of these creatures, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. So there's another item that's there in the midst of the throne room of God. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. What happens when we see the glory of the Lord? Well, there's understanding and knowledge. There's self-examination, repentance. And you know what comes with that? Forgiveness. Forgiveness and cleansing. Forgiveness and cleansing and fellowship with the Lord. What happens there? We have forgiveness. He says, the creature said, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, what's the scripture say? If we confess our sins, children of God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. We need to see the glory of the Lord, don't we? What happens when one sees the glory of the Lord, where there's understanding and knowledge of self-examination and repentance? There's forgiveness. And then in verse number 8, what do we see here? Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I thought this was the God of all power and greatness. It is. It takes nothing away from the greatness and goodness of the Lord. Remember, it is the Lord that brought Isaiah there. But the Lord works with Isaiah as a man. The Lord moves with his spirit. The Lord is not some, we don't need to think of the Lord as some puppet master. But he's created us in his image and his likeness. And he's created us with ability and a heart and a soul and a mind and that. But yet he deals with us in being a human. Yet he moves with his spirit to open our eyes and to open our hearts and to open our ears. He deals with us. This operation of God is more... It is a greater thing than any influence that we could ever have on another. God doesn't manipulate us. Okay? If we try to affect others, we manipulate. But God works and moves in us. He took Isaiah and he took the cover off the Lord's glory. And when God reveals himself, things become clear. Things become real. The truth is known. And so here the Lord asked, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." What happens when one sees the glory of the Lord? Well, there is willingness rather than willfulness. Hear that? There is willingness rather than willfulness. We in and of ourselves are willful. I naturally want to do what I want to do. I think it's my life. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. Oh, but when we see the glory of the Lord said, "Who are we going to send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me. Send me. I want it," Isaiah says. "I want to go. I want to be used." Because he saw the glory of the Lord. Turn over here to Isaiah 43. We're not far away. When one sees the glory of the Lord, there is willingness rather than willfulness. The Lord has a work to be performed and accomplished, and he uses us to do it. In Isaiah 43, verse 10, the scripture says here, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Therefore, before me that there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared it, and have saved, and have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it," or who will prevent it? But he says, "You know I'm the Lord. You know that there's none greater. You know that I have called you. I have saved you. I have put my spirit within you. You're my witnesses that I am God." And what's a witness do? A witness testifies. A witness tells what they know. What happens when one sees the glory of the Lord? There is willingness rather than willfulness, and there is an understanding that we are to be used of the Lord. Back in verse number 9 of chapter 6, the Lord says, "Who will go?" And Isaiah says, "I'll go. I'll go. Send me. Here am I. Send me." And then another thing that we see here, what happens to one that sees the glory of God, not only is there understanding and knowledge, self-examination, repentance, forgiveness, a willingness rather than willfulness, but then we see here this, verse 9, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. When one sees the glory of the Lord, there's an understanding that the Lord's work will always be performed and accomplished with the Word of God. God said, tell it. God said, proclaim it. God said in this case in particular what he would do. But what does the Lord say to his servant? Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. That's what God had told him to do. Even though God said their ears are going to be heavy and their heart is going to wax gross and they're not going to be able to see, he told Isaiah, go and tell it. When we see the glory of the Lord, when one sees the glory of the Lord, we have an understanding that the Lord's work will always be performed and accomplished with his word. But see, the thing is here is the one that is called, the one that sees the glory of the Lord, the one is that submits to be used by the Lord in this way, they're not without desire. They're not without a heart for those to whom they're sent. Because listen to what it says here. What happens when one sees the glory of the Lord? They have a desire for those to whom they are sent. Listen to what it says. Then said I, Isaiah speaks, Lord, how long? Lord, how long will it be that their heart will be fat and their ears be heavy and they shut their eyes? How long will it be that they won't see? How long will it be that they won't understand and they won't be converted? He has a desire for those that he's sent to. He has a desire for them to hear and to see. He knows that the only way they can is by the power of the Lord. He says, Lord, how long? How long? How long? And he answered, for Israel, it's been long. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, turned from a wilderness to a desert. That's what's over there now. And the Lord have removed men far away, which he's done with his nation, his people, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Isaiah says, how long? How long will it be that they will not hear? And the Lord says, in this case, it's going to be bad. In this case, it's going to be a long time. So then Isaiah says, well, what's the use? No, no, no. The Lord said, go and tell. When one sees the glory of the Lord, there's an understanding that the work of the Lord is only going to be performed and accomplished by his word. And there is a desire for those to whom we are sent. But it's going to take the Lord to move and work. Isaiah declares a concern and a desire for the perishing. Remember we read over there where John had said it. About what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. We're going to look at that. John rehearsed that. Lord, who hath believed our report? There is a concern. There is a desire for the perishing. Let's turn over to Isaiah 53. And let's look over here at what Isaiah cries unto the Lord. These things are true. And Isaiah is honest with God. He's not haughty. He's not arrogant, he's not belligerent with the Lord, but just he honestly inquires with the Lord. And listen to this passage in Isaiah 53. I trust it's familiar to you. Isaiah, he's been ministering to these people for a long, long time. And he writes and he declares to the Lord in Isaiah 53, verse 1, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm preaching. I'm telling it. But Lord, who's listening? I desire so much for somebody to hear and to be rescued. Who's listening? And he says here, and the message isn't that great either from the human standpoint. Who's believed our report? Because or for? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And the world's looking for something strong. And as a root out of dry ground, who wants a plant like that? He hath no form nor comeliness. And when they shall see him, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. From the human standpoint, Lord, the message isn't that great. When men look on it, it's nothing that they want. Who hath believed our report? It goes on, he's despised and rejected of men, of man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Who wants to be his friend? Who wants to be near him? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I'm preaching it, Lord. And it's not real, it's not appealing to men. And nobody's believing it. But I'm preaching it. I'm telling it. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah knows it's the truth. And that is the message to preach, Jesus Christ. And he says, it is the salvation and way of the Lord that has worked. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet our opinion of him is small. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Oh, what did he do to take that beating from God? But Isaiah says, but it's all this way because of us. Amen? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah has a concern and a desire for the perishing. He has a desire for them. And he asked the Lord, how long will it be that be this way that sinners won't hear, those of the nation in his day won't hear? And we might be lulled into that attitude and that thinking, Lord, who's believing the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? But we've been called to tell it because it is the only way that sinners will be saved, isn't it? And we know that the Lord, when he gets involved, it'll go from meaning nothing to meaning everything, won't it? What is it that happens to one that sees the glory of God? Well, they have a desire and a concern for the perishing. They know and understand that the Lord's work is only going to be performed and accomplished with the Word of God. They are willing rather than willful. They are forgiven by the Lord because they have repented. They have self-examined one because they've seen the glory of the Lord and there's understanding and knowledge. We need to see the glory of the Lord, folks. Isaiah was moved to a life of being used by the Lord for the sake of others. Why? Because he saw the glory of the Lord. And that brings us to our conclusion. Why is it that we need to see the glory of the Lord? Well, it tells us there in John chapter 12. Turn back over there. John chapter 12. What happens? We have understanding and knowledge. We are blessed with self-examination and repentance. There's forgiveness in that. What happens when one sees the glory of the Lord? There's willingness rather than willfulness. There's a knowledge that the Lord's work is only going to be performed with his word, not some other means, not some other worldly or man-centered way that we can think of. There is a concern for those to whom we are sent. And then I forgot this point. I'm sorry, back in Isaiah, I'm running you around, but back in Isaiah 6, we don't need to leave this point out here. We didn't finish up the chapter. Verse number 13. Isaiah 6:13. One that sees the glory of the Lord knows this, The scripture says in Isaiah 6:13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast off their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Lastly, when one sees the glory of the Lord, they know that there's a need for patience and waiting. We've said that many times in the last year or so, that the biggest part of our service to the Lord, we come here to worship. When we go out and we live and we live in this world and witness in this world and live our lives for the Lord, the biggest element of our service is waiting. Wait. Because the Lord says, go do it, Isaiah. Go preach it. Go tell it. Yet, in this case, the ears are going to be heavy and hearts are going to be gross. But there's going to be the remnant that I'm going to call. There's going to be those that I'm going to save. My word will accomplish that whereunto I purpose it. It will come to be. And then in John chapter 12, back in John chapter 12, what happens when one sees the glory of God? There's understanding and knowledge. There's self-examination and repentance. There's forgiveness. There's willingness rather than willfulness. There's a knowledge that the Lord's work is only going to be performed by the word of the Lord, word of God. There's a concern and desire for those to whom we are sent, those that are perishing. And then there's a knowledge and understanding that there is a need for patience and waiting. The Lord says in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. What happens, we've looked at. Why do you and I need to see the glory of the Lord? Here in John chapter 12, we see in verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. See, when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, it caused him to speak. It caused him to tell the truth of the Lord. Why do you and I need to see the glory of God? That we might speak of him to all men. What's that say? Isaiah, when he saw his glory, spake of him. We need to speak to all men. And then verse number 42, may it not be this way with us. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. We need to see the glory of the Lord that we might confess him no matter what the cost. These that are here at this time, they were afraid to confess the Lord, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. May we see the glory of the Lord that we might confess him to all, no matter what the cost. Then verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We need to see the glory of the Lord that we would desire the praise of God more than the praise of any other. Don't you want the praise of the one that sits on the throne? He's eternal, isn't he? He's everlasting. His word is true, and may we look to him. How can we see his glory today? How can we today see his glory? Well, it's in his word, isn't it? In his word, Psalm 138. How can we see the glory of the Lord? The time is done for the Lord to give Isaiah that vision, that understanding, that look-see into heaven. That time is past. The time of the Lord working with the apostles and them seeing Peter, James, and John seeing the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, those times are done. We have the word of the Lord. And how is it that we can see the glory of the Lord? Well, indeed, it's in his word. In Psalm 138, I will praise thee, verse number one, with my whole heart. Before the gods, or before the authorities, before the great ones of the earth, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Listen to what the Lord says. It's always been the design of God. Hear what I say. In the day when I cry, thou answerest me. He is a pitiful God, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. Listen to what this says. When they hear the words of thy mouth. And who declares the words of the Lord's mouth? His witnesses, his people that see his glory. We are his witnesses to tell it. Verse number 5, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We need to see the glory of the Lord, and we need to understand what happens to us and what will happen to us when we see the glory of God. And we need to, the why of why we need to see the glory of God is that we might speak and we might tell of his great glory to others. The great glory of the Lord. We need to see his glory in a lot of things. There's many things that we can see his glory in, can't we? His majesty, as Isaiah saw, his greatness, his power. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his many wonderful attributes. We need to see the glory of the Lord in the Father's plan of salvation and all things that he sent the Son to do. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his deliverance for mankind. We need to see the glory of the Lord in the Son's obedience, don't we? We need to see the glory of the Lord in his great condescension in becoming a man and becoming so closely related to us that he might be a sacrifice for us, yet without sin. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his death and his dealing with death. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his resurrection. We need to see the glory of the Lord in the great salvation that he has bestowed upon us and won. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his judgment. We need to see the glory of the Lord in his great kingdom that's coming. And we need to see the glory of the Lord in his reign. We need to see the glory of the Lord that we might proclaim it. And may the Lord help us and bless us with that. And here in Psalm 138, when they hear the words of thy mouth, verse number 4, how? From us who has seen his glory, that they might see the glory. When they hear the words of thy mouth, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We desire for them to see it. This word, and speaking of this word, I just mentioned many things that we can see the Lord's glory in, but what is the greatest word of the Lord that man can hear? What's that greatest, the greatest word? The pinnacle of it all, if you will. Well, I think we find it in Isaiah chapter 45. Let's take a look over there. Isaiah 45. For you that are here and not saved, oh, we pray that you'll see the glory of the Lord and that you'll hear the testimony of we who have been blessed to see the glory of the Lord and are saved, that you might be saved. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their grain with an image and pray unto a God that cannot save. You need a God that can save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Salvation is of the Lord and by the Lord. Oh, may we declare the glory of God. May we declare his word. May we declare the truth of his salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see the glory of God. The Lord. The Lord says the only way that sinners can be saved is through the Word, through the truth, through the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17:17, the Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And that's what we're to declare, is the truth of the word. And in closing, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ deals with these folks here. And it says here that some believed. In verse number 30, "And as he spake these words," in John 8:30, "as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" See, those who are saved will continue in the word, and the word will cause us to know the truth. May we declare it to sinners. May we proclaim it to others. May we see his glory, that we be used of the Lord to proclaim the truth of his word to others, and that the Lord would save. Sinner, do you see the glory of the Lord? You need to. You need to see his glory and cry out unto him for mercy.